Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the show. Great to have you with us on this Thursday. Got back at about 11:30 this morning.
You're kidding me.
I kid you not.
Did you get into all the storms and everything? Were you delayed because of all the storms?
No, we tried to land here in State College last night. Plane's going down. I finally see a light down below. Think to myself, ah, that's good. We're just about home free. Au contraire, mon frere. Suddenly it just closed up. And when it closed up dramatically. And suddenly he pulled the plane up and out, and we went to Pittsburgh.
What? Wait, when you say closed up, you're what closed up?
Fog.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was that bad.
It was very bad here. There was no wind here last night.
Wow. So you spent the night in the Berg, where the good news is you probably have now inside information, because I know you're always working, since you spent the night in the Berg, on the fact that Hines Ward is no longer a Steeler and Wallace isn't going to get the franchise tag.
Right. Yeah. Gene Collier wrote a column about that this morning. I read it.
But I mean, like I said, because you're always working, I figured you already had all that stuff because you were in the Berg.
I was in the Berg, all right.
Wow.
Sort of. I don't know where we stayed last night. If we were at a Fairfield Inn. Which actually is not that bad. It was actually pretty nice. It's not a Marriott. I mean, top line Marriott.
Oh, please. Are you a prima donna? Is that what you're telling me?
No. I thought it was very, very good. Marriott owns Fairfield.
Yes. I love Fairfields. Nice pool. Always very comfortable.
Nice pool?
Yeah, Fairfields have a nice pool.
Really?
Listen, when I stay at a hotel, I want to make sure that I get all of the services possible.
Oh, when you stay at a hotel, the staff knows.
When I stay at a hotel, I want to make sure I cover all of the services that are available. I want to get my money's worth at said hotel.
Look.
Except for the gym. I don't even bother with that. If I'm at a hotel, the last thing I want to do is work out. Oh, wait. If I'm at home, the last thing I want to do is work out, so...
Oh, if you want, we can set you up at a gym every day.
It's every day between 3 and 5? Is that where you're getting to?
If that's what you wish. I know Sarah Bartlett is in the bullpen waiting.
So you were almost down on the ground.
Yes,
and then they
down the
redirected
ground.
You. Wow.
No, he pulled out. He couldn't see.
Well, there was no sense in coming to, I mean, if it's State College, probably Williamsport was probably fogged in too.
Oh, Harrisburg was a no-go, by the way. We were told that when we left, that Harrisburg was a no-go.
Wow.
But when we left Lafayette. So, yeah, we were told that point blank. Harrisburg, we're not going to be able to do that. So suddenly we heard the words Pittsburgh. Now, what they wanted to do last night is they wanted to wait until 1 in the morning. We landed about 11:30, 11:35 in Pittsburgh. They wanted to wait till 1 o'clock in the morning and then give it a shot and fly in here, thinking that the fog would move out by then. But there was no wind in State College. So Patrick Chambers finally, he's listening to all this and the options. Look, we need to make an executive decision here. He kind of looked back at the kids and said, look, he says, Cam hurt his foot. You know, Frazier's not feeling that great.
It wasn't a memorable game.
So he says, look, he said, let's just find a place and stay the night. Now, it was about a 15 to 20 minute cab ride out to this Fairfield. And I was in the last group. It was Patrick Chambers, Ross Condon, the director of basketball operations, and me. I freely admit that if the cabbie just decided to take us back to State College, we'd have made it in 2 hours.
Just driving out.
Just do it. Yeah, let her in. I mean, honestly, the windshield was buckling. And then the group in front of us, because it was so far out, the group in front of us calls Ross and says, are we going the right way? Because, again, it's further out than anybody realized.
Mm-hmm.
And the cab driver says, hey, Linda, you get the 79. They want to go 79 south, whatever. Then 30 seconds later, corrects himself. He says, no, wait, we want to go 79 north. I said, I looked at him. I said, don't worry about it. I said, we don't need those people.
So let's see. You must have been, I'm guessing the one that they call it Pittsburgh Neville Island.
I guess we were near there.
Yeah. That's the closest one I could think of that would be near, at least off the top of my head.
I guess. I mean, as usual, we worked our way in through the cover of darkness, so I don't really know what was around there.
Did you have any luggage with you?
Well, of course we did.
Okay. Well, I mean, it could be worse. You could have no luggage. I'm flying back from Austin.
It's a charter.
Well, no, yeah, that's true. That's a good point. I was flying back from Austin at one point.
My luggage should be on there.
You would hope. Flying back from Austin, I ended up delayed in Chicago. By the way, bad place to fly into in January. Don't fly into O'Hare in January. Bad idea.
I'm in the Big Ten.
So, and I'm supposed to make the flight to Harrisburg. My luggage somehow didn't make the flight from Austin to Chicago, and I'm in Chicago overnight with no luggage whatsoever in a city I've never been in and I don't know anybody in. That's a real comfortable situation, and I'm by myself. That was great. It was 5 degrees that day in Chicago, and I left Austin, it was 75. Needless to say, I did not have my jacket at the time either. So I can relate to being redirected once or twice.
Good. Well, there's the laugh. It was about the Steve Jones rule of packing.
Okay.
Which I stated before. I always pack one day beyond.
Oh, that's an automatic rule.
Not many people do that on a charter.
Well, but for the instance that you just had, that's an automatic. The other rule is always pack a day's clothes in your carry-on. That way, if your luggage doesn't make it. I unfortunately had used said day of carry-on.
Well, you shouldn't spill on the clothes you're wearing.
Okay, great. All right, here's the big story of the day. You ready? Baseball. Baseball playoffs.
I was so excited, I thought you were going to resign.
No, baseball playoffs, that's the big one of the day.
All right, how many teams now?
10. At last check. 10 at last check, and it could start as early as this season. Now, I talked about it a little bit yesterday at the end of the program.
Anything to get the Red Sox in.
Well, you're all for that. I get that.
No, you don't think this doesn't have something to do with them?
Well, I think it has something to do with getting more teams in, getting more money. That's what, getting more TV money.
And TV ratings mean who?
What, TV ratings mean more money.
And which teams do that?
Well, let's see. The Yankees would probably do well. Mm-hmm. The Phillies would do okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Boston might be all right. It might be all right. But the question, here's the problem that I have with it. I've looked at this. My first reaction was I didn't like it. I don't hate it. I just didn't like it. But I don't like the one and done for the two wild card games in a one head-to-head game.
Okay. Why not?
I don't know. I don't mind it if it's deciding who goes and who wins the division, that sort of thing. But mm-hmm. it seems to be a little bit abrupt for a playoff game. I mean, I understand the timing and everything. Best 2 of 3 may not work because of timing, and then you end up playing in Philadelphia in November. Which, wasn't a great idea with the ear flaps down and everything a couple of years ago. But one and done, nothing else except for the deciding a division or a wild card ever happened like that in baseball. Everything's been at least a series, and this would be something totally different. And I don't know if I like totally different.
Well, this show's totally different.
That's true.
You can get out of it now and go back to your mundane life if you wish.
I'm not even going to answer that.
Wow.
Not even going to answer that one.
Dave and Sunbury's here to bail the show out. Hi, Dave.
Hello?
Hi, Dave.
Hello? How you doing?
Great, Dave. How are you?
Okay. Three things, Dave. We'll start with the UCLA problem in the Sports Illustrated.
Now, we talked about that yesterday. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I know. Well, I tried to call you and talk to you, but because when you were out in Purdue, they wouldn't let, you know, there was something wrong with the phone. They wouldn't let it go through.
Okay.
But then you were saying about the baseball. I said, well, the guy that broke the story about that is a Cub fan. So he says, now maybe the Cubs will get in.
I'm sorry.
I don't think so.
They expand that thing to 20, they won't get him.
Yeah, well, I thought, well, my team has been down a bit, you know, because being on the coast and all that deal with that, the selling, you know, the franchise back to actually somebody that actually owned it before, possible. But maybe they might get in it, too. Who knows?
Well, at least they have some talent out there. I mean, the Kemp kid's good. The Clayton Kershaw's really good. It's not like the Dodgers don't have talent.
But I just said, you know, that was the joke. When the guy wrote the article, when he broke the story about it, just saying, well, now maybe the Cubs can get in it. And then you said, well, then, you know, a lot more, maybe prayer will do help.
I mean, I think the only thing that helped them right now is Cardinal George. Yeah. Water, yeah. Some water from Lourdes, something.
Well, but I'll just let you go now. Just because that whole thing is just. Did you get it? Was able to talk to Dave?
Was able to. Oh, go ahead, Kev. You talk to the chief.
No, yeah, I was. I haven't talked to the chief in a couple of days. No.
Well, I was talking about Steve because you said you'd pass that on because this time his cousin called.
Yeah. We did that
We always pass that along.
Oh, okay. No, I just say, you know. I heard a couple of recruits verbaled already. Oh, okay. And he's heading in the right direction, just, you know. Wait to see how that all shakes out.
Well, he seems to be heading in the right direction. One's a quarterback, another one's the defensive back. And I think they're off to a good, you know, it seems like they're off to a great start. You know me. Number one, of course, I can't talk specifics, but number two, I also don't really like to talk about players until I actually see them myself and get a feel for them. For example, Jesse James, the freshman's in now. Well, I'll tell you right now, he's strong. Now, whether he's a good football player or not remains to be seen, but in terms of being physically strong, Jesse James is physically strong. He gets into the pit when they do that, what they call the tug. Man, he is powerful legs, powerful upper body.
Combination of those two tight ends from New England, same deal. Looking for another tight end. Besides, you know, like the other kids that are looking at on down the road.
Well, they have some good tight ends in this group already. I mean, at least he has that. And down the road, he'll have to recruit more because he feels it's an important part of the offense. But I also think he's not going to get pigeonholed into, I have to have a bunch of tight ends to do this. I mean, I think he's, you know, he says he's a game playing offense. Well, now we're going to find out. But I will say this. He had outstanding tight ends at New England. He utilized them, and the Patriots had a slightly different system than everybody else, except for Denver. And I think when he looks at the tight end situation here at Penn State, he's going to feel actually pretty good about it. 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. Steve Jones shows on WKOK with Kevin Herr in tow.
If you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time, satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com.
Come on home to convenience. Come on over with style. Come on home to real savings. Service with the real smile.
Ooh, just what I've been waiting for. The 32 pages of money-saving coupons from Kohl's Hardware with over $200 in coupon savings.
These coupons are for the birds. No, seriously, they're for the birds. Get a 50-pound bag of black oil sunflower seeds for just $34.99 and a 12-pack of high-energy suet cakes just $9.99.
It's time to start the garden, and all Burpee seed packets are one-third off. Plus, Jiffy peat pots are just 79 cents and greenhouse starter trays just $4.99 each.
And you can get a 45-gallon trash can with a $10 coupon for just $24.99 and a Stanley wet dry vac just $17.97 with coupons.
Spring is just around the corner, so get to Kohl's Hardware. Bring your coupon book and start savings on the things you need now. Kohl's Hardware. We're close, convenient, helpful, and saving you money in your hometown.
Come on home, your hardware store. Come on home to Kohl's.
You know, it's been said that laughter is the best medicine. And here's a reminder to take your medicine tomorrow night at the Front Street Station. Front Street Station, a railroading eatery located at number 2 Front Street in Northumberland, presents another of their famous comedy nights. Tomorrow night, national touring comedians perform live on stage. Doors open at 8:30 p.m. Or here's an idea. Make it a fun-filled evening and come early for dinner and then see the show. And remember, reservations are suggested. It's another comedy night tomorrow night. If you've been there before, come on back. If you've never enjoyed comedy night before, don't miss this opportunity for a great night of laughs tomorrow night, because laughter is the best medicine. Come join the fun tomorrow night at the Front Street Station, a railroading eatery located at number 2 Front Street in Northumberland. Learn more online at frontstreetstation.com.
This week, see Steve Miller and Leif Skiving. The doors open at 8:30. The show starts at 9 with an $8 cover.
News Radio 1070 WKOK is joining Evangelical Community Hospital to Rock Red for Healthy Hearts. During February, we want you to help prevent heart disease and to lower your individual risk. Listen all this month for heart-healthy tips, the importance of screenings, and even a chance to talk with a doctor free. It's just our way of helping you avoid heart disease today, tomorrow, and for years to come. You can find out much more information about Rock Red for Healthy Hearts in February at WKOK.com.
Kevin Hurd does not like a one-game playoff.
No.
Even when the Bobby Thompson home run was hit, the, quote, shot heard around the world, that was not a one-game playoff. That was a best of three.
Right.
But it probably ought to be a best of three instead of a one-gamer. I'm not into this, into every series being a best of seven series. I mean, look, you'd have to start the playoffs August 1st.
Either that or play it only in dome stadiums.
No. Not going to do that. Retractable, fine. But best of three, I could go with that.
Now let me ask you this. Would it have changed, like last year, game 162 actually was interesting for a lot of people. I watched MLB Network hop around from game to game because there was so much at stake. Would you still have that type of a finish to the season if you have these extra two wildcard teams?
It depends on who teams 11 and 12 are.
I suppose.
I give you answers that you sit back and go, I didn't think of that.
No, you're not giving me fun answers at all. These are not answers that spark discussion, no.
I understand that.
Quit giving me logic. Logic doesn't make sense.
It depends on who 11 and 12 is. I mean, that's, you know. I mean, it used to be that only four teams made it. Okay. And they upped that the number to 8. Now they want to go to 10.
I will say this, though, that by doing it this way, you have the opportunity to get more of a benefit for winning the division.
Sure you do. You got a bye. Don't have to play the one game playoff. It's nice.
Or end up playing the hottest team in baseball going into the playoffs.
Sure. You have to do that. But, so, yeah, they want to expand. It's the big story of the day. Kevin's all hot and bothered about it.
I wouldn't say I'm hot and bothered.
Oh, you sent me an email, this detailed email today. You know, I glanced at it. And, you know, I just...
well, it's all right. I could have sent you a text message about it, too, but I figured it was a little long.
I've been traveling all day. All right?
All you were worried about was how to get from Pittsburgh to State College by 3 o'clock.
No, I wasn't that worried about that. I figured I'd make it. Well,
I was looking at some of the other responses. David Wright said he wished it would have happened about 5 years ago.
Well, sure, because these guys want to be in the playoffs. That's the difference. And I'm telling you right now, Tampa Bay beating the Red Sox in that last game has a lot to do with what we're seeing. I'm telling you right now, Major League Baseball is trying to figure out a way to keep certain teams in it. Boston's one of them.
I'm looking through some of the other comments. Longoria says that he thinks it's exciting and that it was pretty much unanimous around the league that more playoff spots are better. He said once you get into the playoffs, it's more of revenue for the ball club, which is what we were talking about earlier. More excitement for the players, and it would be a no-brainer for everybody. I don't think everybody's comfortable with the one-game playoff, and that was the point I was trying to make. I don't know that I'm personally against that many teams, but I'm not real fond of the one-game playoff unless it's to decide who advances to a playoff game.
Exactly. That's why I advocate a best of three. It would generate more revenue. Yes, you do have to fly back and forth, but you can't have, you know, unless you want to have the first one, game one at one location, the last two at the other one, you'd have to do that. So that'd probably be how they would do it. Game one at one place and the last two games someplace else. I would advocate a best of three.
So let's say for the sake of argument, you make it a best of three.
Mm-hmm.
You run at least a day off for travel.
Yep.
Then another day off between wild card and divisional.
Yeah.
So you're looking at basically adding a week.
5 days.
Yeah, that's what I said, almost a week to the season. Now, no. Would that make the...
No, 5 days.
5 days. Okay, I'm rounding.
Right. No, you don't round to a week because it would push it back 1 week. Okay? 5 days, those 2 days, especially when you're talking about the month of October, bleeding to November, actually does make a big difference.
Yeah.
Sarah Bartlett, the show's intellectual, moments away with the news on WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, at 1-800-795-9565, we go to Nori next. Hi, Buzz. Thanks for joining us on the show this afternoon. It's great to hear from you.
Oh, Steve, it's great. I was thinking about you guys yesterday. I had to laugh. You know, the other day we were talking about how Kevin's after you to tweet and Facebook and do all this stuff during the game.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Well, I was reading. I finally found out on Wednesday, yesterday, who won the Daytona 500. I'm reading the article in the newspaper because I didn't stay up late, and for some reason it wasn't. So anyhow, I'm reading the article about the guy that won it, and then I got to this thing about this driver, Brad Keselowski, who stole the spotlight after he grabbed it with both thumbs. what this guy did was he'd sit in the car when it wasn't moving, and he'd tweet people.
Right. Actually, that's not completely true.
What's that? During he would be stopped.
Yeah, he actually only tweeted during the red flag when everybody was out of their car.
But then I saw this, and I realized, here, this guy got four paragraphs, and Kenseth only got one. And then I went over to this column, Steve. I went over to this column looking at the lineup for the race finish. I noticed that this guy, this tweeter, started in the 23rd position, and he finished 32nd. Do you think he might have done a little better if he would have taken those breaks to think about strategy instead of tweeting his friends?
Buzz,
what?
You bring up two very interesting points. Number one, one paragraph donated to the winner,
and one
guy, because he's on Twitter, gets four paragraphs.
The guy on Twitter who started 32nd or started 23rd finished 32nd.
Exactly.
And the guy who won started in fourth and won.
Exactly.
So,
now, the novelty of the Twitter part is certainly intriguing. Is it worth four paragraphs of the story versus the person who went 500 miles and won? No.
Okay, well, here's...
Of course not. So you are absolutely correct. You're on the mark. You have the pulse of it perfectly.
And I notice the article is written by a woman named Jenna Fryer. She's with the AP, so it's nobody local that did that. But then, again, it goes back to our conversation with Kevin about focusing on one job and doing it well. Do you think he might have done better if he was sitting in his car thinking about strategy rather than tweeting?
Well, first of all, the break was so long.
Yeah.
I mean, this was an unusual – I will say this. It was a very unusual situation.
Yeah.
Because what happened is Juan Pablo Montoya is trying to catch the pack, flies up there. He hits the truck.
Yep.
It's fully fueled. It blows
it
up. Everything's all over the track. The delay was 1 hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah, I went to sleep.
Right. There's only so much you can do in that period of time.
Yeah.
So in a red flag, do I mind him being on Twitter? No.
Okay.
Do I mind the guy finishing 32nd? Getting four paragraphs about being on Twitter versus the guy that won the race getting one paragraph? Yes, that reeks of stupidity.
Okay.
I mean, so the fact that if the delay were short, I'd totally agree with you.
Yeah, if I were the car owner, I would say, why weren't you thinking about your race strategy?
I'd be like, give me the phone.
Yeah.
All right? But because the delay was 1 hour and 45 minutes.
Okay.
And the other drivers were getting out and talking to each other anyway. So they were all just trying to kill time.
Yeah.
So he does this. He relates to the fans. The fans love it, the whole thing.
I'm sure it's good business.
Yeah. Oh, it's good business and so forth. Now, if it was a short stop, then they should be doing exactly what you're talking about, strategy.
Yeah.
How do we attack this? What do we do when we have the restart, so forth, and get through all of that? But when it's 1 hour and 45 minutes and the track is on fire.
Yeah, got to keep the fans interested. Well, I just thought it was funny because when I read that, the first thing I thought of was you guys in our conversation the other day about multitasking.
Well, I mean, have you heard her even say a word in this call yet?
No, is he still there?
Because he's on Twitter right now. He's tweeting all of his friends, and he's just telling me, I'm sitting here listening to Buzz and Steve, on WKOK 1070. I mean, and he's and you know what? And both of his friends are really happy he tweeted.
I was going to say, he's thinking, I don't have to come here for this abuse. I can get it at home.
Hundreds of people waiting to abuse me. Hey, you guys got to keep in mind, Brad Keselowski finished 29th and still made $368,000 to sit there and tweet on the backstretch.
Not bad.
I know, but you know what Buzz said? He started 23rd. He finished 29th.
He finished 32nd.
32nd.
Paper says.
No, I think it was 29th. It was 29th, actually.
Okay.
Regardless, there are a boatload of people that were in front of him.
Yes.
He gets four paragraphs.
Yes.
True.
Yeah.
On being a sideshow and a circus act.
Yep. And Kenseth
as opposed to the winner. Yeah, the winner gets one paragraph for skillfully mastering a race over 500 miles, major delays and accidents better than anybody else.
Yep. That's it. That's the state of news today, Steve.
I totally agree with you.
It's up to the pros like you to keep people focused on what really matters.
Well, that's nice of you to say, Buzz. I appreciate that.
Thanks, guys.
And Sarah Bartlett. All right. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. What?
But I didn't say a word.
I'm just trying to be all inclusive in the show.
You are. You want to get everybody covered.
She's in the hallway smiling now, isn't she?
Oh, but she. Every time you mention her name, she smiles.
Well, she does a great job. How are you doing?
I'm great.
Okittlast night, the Nittany Lions lost at Purdue 80-56. Tight game first half. Penn State came out of the gate, played very well in the first half. Tim Frazier ended up with 24, 16 in the first half, 8 in the second. Also tied, Taylor Battle's single-season assist record with 189 at Penn State, doing so in 30 games as opposed to Taylor Battle's 38 games in 2009 to set the mark. After the game, the guy that had the scout on the game, Keith Ergo, sat down with Dick Girardi to discuss a key sequence at the end of the first half, where Penn State was down by 2 and suddenly found themselves down by 5 at the break, courtesy of Robbie Hummel.
Keith, first half, offense was terrific. You're right in the game. Then a play right at the end of the half. It looks like maybe you're going to have the last possession. Instead, they get it. Hummel hits a 3, and then the second half, it was just the floodgates open.
Yeah, you know what? Defense and rebounding are what we need to pride ourselves on, and we didn't do either tonight. Unfortunately, hats off to Purdue. Great night here for senior night. Fans were phenomenal for them, and their seniors stepped up to the occasion and played phenomenal. Mitch Smith didn't have that great of a game. He shows you how good of a player he is. Didn't let the first half bother him, and then whatever he did in the second half, I just know he made at least 3 threes.
He hit 3 in a row. He hadn't hit a thing, and then he knocked out 3, and then everybody's getting their confidence.
It's interesting, Keith. Back on January 5th, you beat this team 65-45, and they really were struggling at that point. But here we are 7 weeks later. Robbie Hummel looks like he's back from the double ACL now. This team is playing as well as anybody in your league right now.
Yeah, you know what? He's playing as well as anybody in the league. Yep. And that's what you need your big-time players to do, and then everybody kind of feeds off of them. And our big-time player stepped up and had an unbelievable game this evening, and he continues to show that he's definitely not only one of the best players, if not the best all-around player in this league, certainly one of the best players in the country, in our opinion, and he needs to start getting his due. But hats off to Robbie Hummel. He did everything that his team needed him to do. He was phenomenal tonight as well.
Yeah, you were mentioning Tim Frazier, 24 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. Keith, that ties the single-season assist mark set by Taylor Battle in 09 in 37 games. Timmy did it in 30.
Yeah.
And he has to score all the points for you. Other than that, he doesn't do much, and you're right. It's unfortunate that he isn't getting the recognition because your record is part of the problem. But the reality is, who's playing better than this guy?
And absolutely nobody. And Robbie played great tonight. And to be quite honest, he should have surpassed that assist mark a long time ago.
We mentioned that you just don't have a lot of great shooters on this team. If you did, he'd probably have another 75 assists.
Yeah, no question. I mean, he's very difficult to guard, and he gets guys open shots. And we're young, and we're going to continue to get better. And hats off to our guys. They're a vision of Pat Chambers, and they played till the very, very bitter end, 40 minutes of everything they got. Just unfortunately, on the road, you got to be able to get stops, even when you can't make shots. The most important thing is you got to defend and rebound, and they did a great job. They hit shots.
Yeah, they did, and they started the second half just 8 out of 9, and just their percentage never really let up, 65% in the second half, and a lot of the misses came late when the game was over. And you get a team on senior night, Keith, you've seen this on both ends of it.
I have.
And you get a team on senior night that's on a roll, their crowd's crazy, they're hard to beat.
Yeah, no question. We went at Notre Dame. I was an assistant coach at Villanova last year, went at Notre Dame, and that was
I remember that game. They were raining threes all night.
I've never seen anything quite like that. The second half, these guys tonight played very well together. And they got contributions from everybody. I thought Tyrone Johnson had a phenomenal first half. And then, obviously, Lewis Jackson stepped up and picked up his slack in the second. And then Ryan Smith comes back and does what he does. And, they're a very, very well-coached team. They're peaking at the right time. And, again, hats off to them and our guys for sticking in there and playing us 40 minutes as hard as they could.
Yeah, no question. Keith, thank you very much.
Keith Ergo joining Dick Girardi last night as Purdue won it. And the final score in that one was 80-56. Purdue played a phenomenal second half. Penn State at one point was down in the game just 37-35 at halftime. In fact, we're down 34-32 in the waning seconds of the first half. And then Sasha tipped a rebound out and a missed free throw. Well, it looked like Penn State was going to at least get the last possession of the half. And when he batted it out, it went outside and then went to Robbie Hummel and knocked down a straight-on three. He looks good right now, Kev. He really does. He's 2 months removed on the left knee of the ACL, wears a huge butterfly bandage on that knee. And he also still has that brace on the right knee, but that's now 17 months removed. He has his quickness, his rebounding, passing the ball really well. Purdue is a dangerous team for the upcoming Big Ten tournament because they are playing so well together. They're not a great defensive team, but offensively they're playing very well at a very high level right now.
Yeah, I think in the first half of that game, they were really giving up the middle an awful lot.
Well, that's because they're not a great defensive team.
That's what I was adding to that, yeah.
And Penn State exploited that, but three-pointers were open all night for Penn State. They were all open, just like they were the first time, except Billy Oliver hit 7 the first time. No Cam Woodyard, no Billy Oliver, your 2 top percentage guys in threes, not available. Experienced guys, not available playing a game like that. They hung for a long time, good first half, just could not sustain. Now they have Michigan Sunday at 1 o'clock. We're on beginning at 12:30 on Sunday on Senior Day, where Billy Oliver and Cam Woodyard will walk out, give a quick wave, and then exit. And Penn State will then have to make the decision as to who starts in place of the two seniors. Most people start their seniors. Penn State can't because they can't play in the game. We'll have tonight, 6:05 to 7, the Penn State basketball show this evening with Cam Woodyard and Billy Oliver both on the show. Assistant Coach Brian Daly will be on the show. Head Coach Patrick Chambers will be on the show tonight. We'll be at the clubhouse at Damon's on College Avenue here in State College. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. More of the show on WKOK after this.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time, satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com.
Come on home to convenience. Come on over with style. Come on home to real savings, service with the real smile.
Ooh, just what I've been waiting for. The 32 pages of money-saving coupons from Kohl's Hardware with over $200 in coupon savings.
These coupons are for the birds. No, seriously, they're for the birds. Get a 50-pound bag of black oil sunflower seeds for just $34.99 and a 12-pack of high-energy suet cakes just $9.99.
It's time to start the garden, and all Burpee seed packets are one-third off. Plus, Jiffy peat pots are just 79 cents and greenhouse starter trays just $4.99 each.
And you can get a 45-gallon trash can with a $10 coupon for just $24.99 and a Stanley wet-dry vac just $17.97 with coupon.
Spring is just around the corner, so get to Kohl's Hardware. Bring your coupon book and start savings on the things you need now. Kohl's Hardware. We're close, convenient, helpful, and saving you money in your hometown.
Come on home, your hardware store. Come on home to Kohl's.
These days, who isn't on a budget? Whether it's a ramen noodles every night budget, a cut back on your cable channel's budget, or how in the world am I ever going to put my kids through college budget? Allstate has something just for you. The Allstate Value Plan. It's their most affordable car insurance, and it still comes with an Allstate agent. Plus, the Value Plan includes Allstate Easy Pay, so you can stay on top of your payments without even thinking about it. The Allstate Value Plan. It's the kind of car insurance that fits any kind of budget. It's Allstate for all.
There's an Allstate policy for everyone. Why not see how much you can save with the Allstate Value Plan? Find an agent near you at allstate.com today. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and their affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
The Allstate Value Plan. Dollar for dollar. Nobody protects you like Allstate.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents The Road Report. 10 minutes before the hour each weekday morning on WKOK. We'll talk about construction slow spots, and we'll let you know if the weather is going to affect driving. Before you hit the road, check out The Road Report at WKOK.com. Then, listen to News Radio 1070 WKOK to find out what you'll run into on the way to work. The Road Report is on WKOK and WKOK.com.
Just inside of 9 before the hour, top of the hour, CBS News and Sarah Bartlett with WKOK Local News. Our lines are open at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Bucknell opened up, did the expected last night. Pounded Navy. Navy's season at DeChelis' season over. And Bucknell now moves on to the Patriots semifinals. As for Northwestern, lost last night. Alex Barcatullio hit a three-pointer, a bomb, to tie the game up, which sent Gus Johnson into orbit. And then, for the second straight year at Welsh Ryan, it was Jared Sullinger at the end making the play to win it. Ohio State wins. Now, what does that do to the line of Joe Lenardi? We had Joe Lenardi on the show Tuesday. Had him on for about a half an hour talking about bracketology. As of right now, teams 36 and 37, and those are the key numbers, not 67 and 68. 36 and 37, there are 37 at-large teams. Team 36 is South Florida. Team 37 is still Northwestern. They have the last spot. One out is Colorado State. Colorado State, though, has an RPI of 23 and a strength of schedule of 5. And he has them out. Northwestern's 50. Strength of schedule 16. They are 2-10 against the top 50 teams, but they have no loss below 100. Let's go to Rick in Lock Haven. Hi, Rick. Thank you for waiting. You're on the show. Great to hear from you.
Hi. I was just wondering what you thought about the recent decision for Goodell of the NFL to change the opening football date next year because of Barack Obama going to be speaking that night. I guess we know now he's a Democrat, but anyway, how great would that have been if they would have switched that game to Friday night instead of Wednesday night? I think the ratings would have went through the roof, but oh well.
I think that they're trying to avoid Friday night because they're trying to avoid high school football.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that.
And that would be the second weekend of the high school football season.
That to me was more important. And I'm personally against him changing that, but that's me. You know, I think that was, I didn't like how he thought. I don't think that's ever happened before. I'd be interested to know if Bush or anybody was speaking the same night they opened and they didn't.
Well, it turns out that the Democratic National Convention is that week. And
yeah,
Thursday night, the last night is the night, the Thursday night, when the nominee of the party speaks. And it turns out that, obviously, President Obama is going to be the nominee of his party. So he'll speak that night. You have to remember, part of this decision is done as a favor and in deference to their TV partner, NBC. NBC will carry the game, and they did not want to put NBC in a position of not carrying the president's speech, carrying the football game.
True.
And because of deference to the television partner that would like to carry both, the Wednesday night, the game, and then also carry the speech, I think that's why it turned out to be a Wednesday night. It'll be the first time since the 50s they played a game on a Wednesday night in the NFL.
Well, anyway, also I heard today that they didn't allow the Sandusky trial to be prolonged till July, which I think is good. I think it would be really good to get that over with as soon as possible. Definitely much sooner than the football season starts. I think that would be a good thing. But I'll let you comment. I'm going to hang up. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Rick. Well, I think all of us would like to see whatever happened as quickly as possible and also make sure that justice is done one way or the other. And I think I'll leave it at that. As quickly as possible, but justice done one way or the other, and then allow everybody here to start moving forward as quickly as they can. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Phone line's been lighting up today, which is great news. Bucknell moves to the Patriots semifinals after doing the expected and winning the 1-versus-8 matchup in Lewisburg last night. No, they had talked to the two of us about getting out there on Wednesday next week.
Still trying to work that out.
Which would have done on Wednesday. The problem is, of course, I'm flying at 2:30 in the afternoon on Wednesday to Indianapolis for the Big Ten tournament.
And I was going to get you a Learjet flight so you could be in and then make the trip out, but...
Look, getting a Piper Cub and then painting the word Lear on the side of it does not do what you want.
And I'm sure we can find somebody with a helicopter that could at least get you somewhere, mm-hmm. you know.
Right. Oh, I'm sure. But again, everybody's talked about the Wednesday night start. I believe it was 1950 was the last time there was a Wednesday night game in the NFL. I think it was the Detroit Lions and the Rams, I think. And that's the problem. Now, first of all, why is the Democratic National Convention that week?
Well, that's later than it normally is.
Well, it was the first week, first week of September.
Yeah, it's usually
August. I mean, why is it then? I mean, you know darn well if you the Olympics start, what, July 27th? And that goes for 2 weeks, so yeah. I'm sure they want to avoid the Olympics.
And I think the Republican convention is first, so they want to be after that so they get the bump.
Sure.
So,
and he's the president.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, to keep in mind with NBC, you were talking about the NBC decision that they'd have to make. This is probably the only part of the convention that will actually be on network television. The biggest part of the convention is on MSNBC, and they won't carry that. They'll carry the speech on the network television. So that's where the conflict would come in. Normally, NBC would just run it on MSNBC and be done with it.
Of course they would, but... It's the nominee of the party. It just turns out to be the president. So I'm sure NBC went to them and said, we have a little bit of an issue. And for the NFL, it's going to be no big deal because the two teams that will play, the Giants and whomever, we know the Giants will be one, will be the team, and it's going to be at MetLife Stadium. Those are the two parts we know. We don't know who the opponent is. We'll have had 10 days before the opener. They know they're going to get 10 days before they play again. So for them, it's great. It's no big deal at all. And the ratings on the Wednesday night are going to be astronomical. In fact, if I'm the Democratic National Convention, I really don't want to know what the ratings are going to be Wednesday compared to Thursday. I really don't.
Is Wednesday night nomination night, too? Not like it's going to be a debate. It's going to be close, but usually the night before is nomination night. That's always a big night for the convention.
The great state of Nevada.
Yeah, exactly.
Known for gambling, Silver in the Hills in Area 51.
I want to hear that one. That's the best.
20,000 delegates for.
By the way, the last Wednesday night game was September 22nd, 1948. The Rams beat the Lions 44-7.
Wow. That was close.
The internet is a wonderful thing.
I had the teams right.
Hey,
I missed by 2 years.
You would have. You were 60 years closer than I would have been.
Sarah Bartlett and CBS News, top of the hour on WKOK.